Fear not the pain. Let its weight fall back into the earth. For heavy are the mountains, heavy are the seas.
The gospel for today is from the 20th chapter of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said this. He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
I normally don't preach on the second Sunday of Easter, having preached on Palm Sunday and Easter Day and days during Holy Week. I'm often out of town, but I very much wanted to be in town for this Sunday because this is the Sunday that our deacon, Elaine Cook, is retiring. This will be her last official act as a deacon at St. Timothy's. She started in, 2006. She's been in this congregation since 1991. She's not going anywhere. But I really wanted to be here and say a few words about her in the service and then in the sermon. And as you hear me say very often, the biblical texts we're given are remarkable. And that is no less the case today. Think about what we have here. We have a story about Thomas. Thomas was not there when the risen Christ appeared, first go around. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas wants to know if this really is the risen Christ. And what he knows is it will not be the risen Christ, namely Jesus, if he doesn't see the marks of the nails in his hands and his side, if he doesn't see the wounded Christ. You know, he may well be wondering, well, what did they see? Maybe when this was written, various people in the early church were claiming that the risen Christ was some crystal goblet Christ, some perfect Christ, some Christ without flaw or blemish. Thomas wouldn't buy that. You see, what Thomas knows is that the real Christ is a wounded Christ. Only that Christ can save us. And just think about Jesus' whole life. This is all of a piece. You know, we know very little about his childhood. But what we do know is that he was born under suspicious circumstances. One can just imagine back in Nazareth, up in the north, in a very, very ethnocentric kind of place. You know, where everybody knows everybody's business. Nazareth is about the size of a football field. One can just imagine that when Mary was pregnant, well, who's the father? Sure. An immaculate conceived child, absolutely. You know, these are the kind of experiences that wound people, and you can imagine Jesus growing up and people saying, you know, it's a little bit shaky over there, a little bit illegitimate. When you grow up in a small town like that, everybody knows everybody's business, and people get hurt. People say hurtful things. And if you're in a little itty-bitty town, you also know what it's like to be irrelevant. It may well have been that Jesus and his father, Joseph, had to go miles to get work. You know, this is not a storybook little Nazareth. It's a hard place. The Romans had destroyed Sepphoris nearby. This is a community probably constantly under threat if they don't, you know, hold the line. And then, of course, what we know is that when Jesus gets older, he goes off to get baptized. Imagine what people were thinking. Where is that guy going? You know, we should have figured that Joseph's kid wouldn't amount to much. And then when he comes back, and at least in Luke's gospel, preaches his first sermon in Nazareth, what happens? Well, gosh, they're so excited. He comes in and preaches, and the first half of the sermon, everybody's going like, wow. He knocked it dead. And then, when in the second half, he says, you know, the non-Jews, Naaman the Syrian, others are the ones that God is acting through. By the end of the first sermon, they're ready to kill him. And in Luke's gospel, it says he just slips away, almost like the Exodus. God had to deliver him from being thrown off a cliff. And of course, his entire ministry was then spent with wounded, broken people. One has to believe that his own childhood gave him this capacity to be with people. And whether it was touching lepers, imagine being a leper and nobody can be near you. Jesus may well know, I know what that's like. Nobody wanted to be near me in Nazareth. Imagine what it would be like in his ministry to be encountering the Samaritan woman who came to the well in the middle of the day because she was too ashamed to go there in the morning when the other women were there. Oh, there's that Samaritan woman. She's been married multiple times. You know, Jesus can relate. It's only if you are wounded that you can relate to people who are wounded. If you are, well, everything is just fine. My life is just a walk in the park. You can't save anybody. And then, of course, just think of the history with his disciples. You've given 3 years to these knuckleheads, and then they deny you, betray you, abandon you, desert you. Talk about being hurt and wounded. You know, what was I doing, God? None of this made any difference for these people, these followers. And of course, in the end, just gotten rid of by everybody. The Christ who taught and ministered and healed was a wounded Christ. And the Christ that God raises from the dead is a wounded Christ. Only the wounded Christ can save people, heal people who are wounded. So you see, Thomas wants to know this. You know, Thomas, earlier on in John's gospel, on the way, I think, to see Lazarus, he mentions that, I guess we're going to go, he's going to die now. I'm not sure what that's all about. But then in chapter 14, when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, Thomas says, well, where are you going? How will we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only the wounded Christ can save people who are wounded. So Ellen Cook has been our deacon for 19 years. And a deacon's role in worship is to be the symbol of servanthood. Is raised up by the church to say, you know, the priests point us to God. About part of our job in this world is to love God. The deacon says, yeah, true, but you need to love your neighbor. You need to love your neighbor. And only a wounded person can love their neighbor. You know, Ellen has been an extraordinary example of this kind of love. And it's not for me to tell you the story of her life. I don't know the story of her life. But let me just tell you this. You don't live a conscious life, and Ellen has lived a very conscious life, without being aware of how often you get wounded. People who ridicule you, people who, you know, flip you off. You don't go through graduate school and get a PhD and then be an academic for years and not know what it's like to be wounded. You're living in an environment where it's all about measuring up. It's all about the next accomplishment. Must be so many times when in that world you just feel like you're never measuring up. That's wounding. You don't be married as long as she has to the wonderful David Cook and not know what it's like to be wounded. You know, even the best marriages, I don't even have to, if that's really a word that should be associated with marriage. Marriages that are real are ones where people are being honest with each other, and we then hurt each other and we have to ask forgiveness. We get wounded. Whenever people say to me, oh, you know, my husband and I have never had an argument. Well, all that shows is that someone in that relationship surrendered early. And of course, you don't serve in a congregation and a diocese and not know what it's like for people to dismiss you at times. But all of this has enabled her to be an extraordinary healer. If you know Ellen at all, what you will know is she is one of the most present people you have ever met. And don't be surprised if when you see her on a Sunday morning, you will see her with someone who is wounded. Someone who needs someone to listen. She knows her job is not to fix people. That's God's job. What she knows is that you need to be with people in their woundedness. And you need to go out in this world and be with people in their woundedness. And being aware of the woundedness of people and the woundedness of this world, you need to do what she's been doing for us for years now, helping us pray to God for help. It's just so right that she has been the voice of the prayers in the well. Dear God, you know, you can just hear it. Dear God, help us again. Dear God, we don't know what we're doing. Dear God, there's so many problems in this world. Ellen the deacon has shown us the way to walk with wounded people. What does Jesus say today? He says, the risen Christ say today, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As the Father has sent me, the wounded Christ, into this world, so I send you to be my wounded presence. What the world doesn't need is a triumphal church. What the world doesn't need are people, disciples, who go out there and say, man, I got all the answers. Just talk to me. I'll show you the way. No, what the world needs now are people who can go out into this world and, because they are wounded, connect with people who are wounded. That is where they will connect them with the Christ that lives in us as Christ's body. One final story, which I think says it all. And I thought of Ellen when this all happened. I went for a walk on the 5-mile trail, down out of Turpin Hills where I live and onto the trail. And Mercer Elementary had let out, I don't know, second, third graders to walk the trail. I think they're training for the Forest Hills 5K thing. And I got behind the kids, kind of in the midst of them. It was kind of fun. And there were two girls in front of me, and they were holding hands. And I thought, you know, kids are just, they're so authentic. They haven't become jaded yet, tried to impress anybody yet. Here are these two girls walking, holding each other's hands. I just saw them from the back. The girl on the left was obviously having trouble walking. I wasn't sure why. Maybe she just wasn't in very good shape. I don't know. The girl on the left had this beautiful curly brunette hair. And I walked behind them until we got to this hill where they had to slow down quite a bit, and you could almost hear the sort of heavy breathing. And I thought, well, I better get around them and continue my walk. Well, I walked around them. And of course, I turned to them and I wanted to say something like, you know, hey, have a great walk. And as I went around them, I realized the girl on the left had Down syndrome. And then I realized the girl on the right with the beautiful brunette hair had, I don't know what the term would be for it, a congenital facial abnormality. I don't know why we call it abnormal. We're born the way we are, right? But when I looked at her, I thought, oh my God, this is this sermon. One wounded person helping one wounded person, holding hands. That will be my image for the rest of Easter. And what I pray is that Roger Green, wounded Roger Green, will spend a lot of this Easter holding hands of other people who are wounded and just walking with them as the Father has sent me, says Jesus, I send you. Let us be the wounded people that go out into this world and hold the hands of other wounded people.
An Echo from the Well is a podcast of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to learn more, visit sttimothys.com.
Be thou my witness. one.